All right. I'd like to introduce our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. Now presenting Derek Webb from BioRem.
Morning. Thank you. First off, I'd like to say good morning to everyone. Also like to thank the hosts. It's nice to see the combined event this year, both great events. So it's just great to be here. And I love Vancouver, the mountains. So this is a joy. I also love talking about the company. So hopefully you guys enjoy my presentation. I'm going to do things a little bit different at this presentation. You guys are a lot smarter than me and can crunch the numbers and the ratios. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through the minutiae of our numbers. A lot of you know me. There's half the audience that don't know the company. So I figured I'd just really spend some time talking about the company. What do we do? Why are we different? And why do you want to keep BioRem on your radar screen? Does that sound fair? Perfect. I am not going to be presenting a hockey stick growth trajectory, but I will be probably making some forward-looking statements. So you guys are duly warned. And I'll probably be making those statements throughout the day as well with the one-on-ones, but you guys know how this goes. So what is our vision? Right? So as we get a crowded planet, as people become more educated, once you can feed yourself, put a roof over your head, educate your children, you start to think about your quality of life. So our vision is to become one of the best companies on the planet providing air pollution control solutions. We have a very large challenge ahead of us, whether you're looking at climate change, whether you're looking at the hazardous pollutants that are in the air. This cannot be done overnight. And the only way to do it is one emission at a time. And so that's what BioRem focuses on. One project at a time, and the aggregate will make a difference eventually. All right, corporate profile. You see some of the numbers here, you know, roughly about 16 million shares outstanding. So nice small amount that's pretty tightly held, fully diluted, about 19 million. We have a fairly good balance sheet, low debt, good cash position, and very high receivables. So looking good from that viewpoint. Company was started in 1990. So real short background on the company. BioRem stands for bioremediation. It was started by a professor at the University of Waterloo who held the chair of industrial microbiology. Him and his students came up with this idea, how can we use bacteria or fungus to eat pollutants out of the soil? Well, the problem with that approach in Canada, it's kind of cold 6 months of the year, and the bugs don't really like to do a lot of work for 6 months. This meant trying to run a business where you could only deliver a project half of the year just wasn't sustainable. When I came on the company as a young engineer right out of school, started looking at this and saying, well, what if we use these ideas, these concepts, and apply them to gaseous phase emissions, air pollution? Since the late 90s, never looked back and been building a business on that. Went public in 2005. There's been a lot of ups and downs for various reasons. I won't get into the whole history, but things certainly started turning around in 2014, coincidentally when there was a new management team, but I won't get into that either. Roughly 2,000 installations around the world as of today. Fairly small company, but we operate in 23 countries. So we do have a fairly big reach. What do we do? You know, think of us as a one-stop shop. Historically, you know, I've spent some time on talking about the biological approach. So just using bugs that eat the air pollution. But you can only address a small amount of the total types of emissions that are out there. So we're transitioning in the last couple of years to providing a full range of engineering and technical solutions. And that is being reflected in our financial results. We are a capital equipment vendor, right? We don't build a lot. We integrate a bunch of things. Other people install it. Other people operate it. Capital equipment business is rather lumpy. So look at us over the year rather than quarter over quarter. But what we're trying to do is get kind of break out of that capital equipment business as well and provide more services. So trying to get that, you know, the holy grail of recurring revenue to set up that foundation for the business. And that can be done with upfront engineering, site work, as well as after sales market with consumables and other types of engineering services. Where would you use this technology? It's got a broad range of applications, whether we're dealing with emissions that come from water and wastewater and solid waste, whether we're dealing with industrial applications. And with industry, our customers range from Samsung over in Korea dealing with semiconductor, AkzoNobel in the U.S. on the East Coast dealing with chemical production. Food and beverage is a very big market for us, whether it be pet food, dealing with coffee roasting, or dealing with Coca-Cola and Pepsi. All of these industries have a variety of emissions and trying to get into to dealing with those. And then the new segment really is dealing with renewable energy, right? There's a big push for dealing with anaerobic digestion. So rather than sending all your organics to the landfill, you will send them to an anaerobic digester, convert that to a methane gas mixture. And those procedures, while really good from an environmental perspective, they do produce a lot of emissions, both in the methane gas mixture as well as just handling the waste themselves. And BioRem has solutions for each of those things. Spend a moment talking about the municipal side of things. So the water, wastewater, and solid waste. The reason why I draw your attention to this is a large portion of our business comes from that sector. So critical infrastructure. This makes BioRem a very unique clean tech company. Infrastructure provides a lot of benefit, right? So what happened in 911, 2007, 2008, or after COVID, government money always goes into infrastructure. Relatively recession-proof and gives you a lot of visibility. Projects take up to a decade to go from conception to bidding and probably another 5 years to actually construct. So these budgets are set for a long time in advance. So you would need a multi-year sustained downturn in the economy for any of these projects to get canceled. And quite frankly, I'll use Canada as an example. When you're bringing in 1.3 million people a year, regardless of what the economy is doing, people still need to go to the bathroom. People still need to put their waste at the end of the curb. So the infrastructure exposure is real nice from a predictability, which is really nice as a manager to be able to do planning as well, right? I can forecast reliably because I know what's happening. The other beauty to this is barriers to entry, right? Governments pay horribly. You get 10% sometime after you do the full engineering design. You get 90%. Not only after you deliver, but when the whole facility is completed. So you may be carrying the cost for that municipality for years. It's a big problem for companies to try to get into the industry. They just don't have the working capital. It's kind of nice to keep that competition down. So just drawing the attention to the infrastructure exposure. Let's talk about the technology. Spent a bit of time earlier on talking about how I'm trying to transition the corporation to providing a full range of solutions. So you can imagine if I'm trying to remove a contaminant out of the airstream, it's not as easy as just plucking that thing out of the air. The air may be too hot, maybe too cold, there may be dust, there may be fats, oils, and greases. So I have to have the technologies to get the air in the right condition to deal with that. I've got a lot of mechanical equipment. I've got fans that could be 500 horsepower, large pumps, they produce noise. So you don't want to deal with an air emissions problem and create another quality of life issue, which is noise. So being able to have a full range of ancillary technologies to deal with the full range of problems is one of our key growth strategies. On the slide, you'll see a large number of different types of reactors. Think about it this way. I need to grow the bacteria in some type of housing. Think of it as a big box, and I've got a special media that I grow the bacteria on. These things can range from the size of this podium to the size of a hockey arena or football field. It depends on the airflow. I've got projects in Ontario where the ductwork conveying the air is big enough for me to drive my truck in. So depending on what the air size volume is, that gives you an idea of how big the reactor is, this home for the bacteria. The value of these projects can range from $50,000 up to $9 million is the largest we've sold to date. The size of the projects is trending upwards, and our average size is $350,000 to $450,000, just to kind of put it in context. Without boring everyone here, just so you guys understand, I talk about bacteria, right? And a lot of people can't just connect the dots. I'm going to just spend a minute talking about it, A, because I love it and I'm an engineer and I'm a science geek, but B, it kind of illustrates the value proposition of the company and why we are different. Yes, I'm trying to bring in a lot of other technologies, and that's contributing to our growth, but the real core of our business is still biological, and it is what sets us apart. So one of the benefits, obviously, is we're using bacteria to do the work for us, right? So I'm looking at competing technologies. If I'm dealing with Samsung, for example, on a semiconductor line, the normal technology to deal with those emissions is to use something called thermal oxidation. It's a fancy name for just burning the air, using lots of natural gas to raise that air to 1500 degrees and to destroy the contaminants. Well, that creates NOx and SOx, and you're using a non-renewable resource, right? So looking at biological, we're using Mother Nature that actually eats those compounds. So very low energy, no hazardous byproducts, so it's a great process. What does that look like? I had a nice 20-minute video, but I was told I couldn't use up another 20 minutes, so I've taken a few slides here from the video. Think of it as a rock. You've got a piece of media, a biofilm, a little moisture layer will go on the surface, and bacteria live in it, okay? The first step into any reactor is you've got to pull that gaseous phase, that compound out of the air, and you've got to make it go into that water layer where the bacteria can then use it as food. They produce an enzyme, breaks the compound, breaks it right down to carbon dioxide and water. That's great. What sets BioRem apart from everybody else is historically in the 90s, people used wood chips. BC still uses wood chips. They grow the bacteria on wood chips. You could grow them on anything, concrete, plastic, recycled tires. But the problem with wood, it's a carbon source. So not only are the bugs eating what's in the air, they're eating what's on the surface or what they're living on. So you got to replace that media. It falls apart. Can't predict the performance. The other issue you have is what I just said is not all compounds that create cancer, give you, or create an odor are water soluble. So if I can't pull that compound out of the air, I can't get my bugs to eat it. So BioRem developed an engineered media that's permanent that addresses this dynamic. We can pull those hydrophobic, those insoluble compounds, and we're able to get those soluble compounds. So that's the end of the science lesson, but that's really what sets us apart. We can treat a wider range of compounds in a smaller footprint with less energy and less harmful byproducts being created. And that's really our value proposition. The second part of our value proposition is really understanding this process and always being able to go back to first principles. All right, this is still air pollution control is still in its infancy, and most people don't understand how to move air, capture air, treat air, and deal with it properly. So our experience across hundreds of industries and applications, we've got more data than our customers have, and that's another thing that sets us apart. So technology, knowledge, information is power. Before we wrap up with a couple slides on some numbers, because I did lie, there will be a few numbers. Just so you get a bit of an idea, this is a massive system. So this is the system in Ontario that I was telling you I can drive. That's 316 stainless steel ducting, the large duct I can drive my truck in. Just to give you a size of the scope. This is a rendering plant, so a real beautiful facility where all the dead animals get shipped to and they turn into weird and wonderful things, explosives, fats, candles, soaps. But it's a horrible place to be in, and we get extremely high removal rates and performance. That's one example. Because our systems last so long and get such a high rate of performance, we can put these systems really close to people. You've got two examples here. One from right down the street in Grandview. So you'll see those are, relatively high-end condominiums where they have an odor control system for the underground collection system for wastewater. And you'll see that our system are those little rectangles on the grass. It's a three-stage system built underground. We're like 10 feet from someone's bedroom window, right? This gives you an idea of just how powerful these bugs can be. The other one is for Miami Beach. This is a great little application. Tourist areas. We have a system at the gates of Petra. I don't know if anyone's been to Petra in Jordan. It's been added to the one of the wonders of the world, but a lot of tourist areas, use this technology as well. And with the city of Miami and Miami Beach, they have decided that Byram's the way to go. And every single one of their pumping stations and wastewater facilities are going in that direction. So really exciting things. I just wanted you guys to see kind of tangibly what we do. And then finally, two more other applications. We talked about biogas, right? Renewable energy, the one application here on the left. This is, you know, depending who you talk to, this is an up-and-coming market segment. We think it is. We've partnered with a company that has partnered with Total Energy of France, funded by BlackRock, and they want to build over 100 facilities across the U.S. We've already got 3 orders this year to work with them, dealing with the emissions. So really exciting things there. And then on the other side, this is a nascent area. We talked about climate change and greenhouse gas reduction. There are more and more companies that are coming out there that are coming up with technologies and trying to upscale those technologies to pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere in a bid to reverse global warming. And so we're excited to work with probably the leading company on the planet, with one of the largest environmental companies on the planet, for a project in Texas. So really exciting thing. They have a plan to build 25 across the U.S. We shall see how that goes. We're delivering it as we speak. Pretty exciting there. Spent a lot of time talking about what Byram is and what we do. Why do you want to continue? Just keep tracking us, finding out. Keep an eye on us, see what we're doing. There's a lot of very positive industry factors happening right now. The key drivers, we talked a bit about, you know, infrastructure spending. There's a couple bills, bipartisan bills south of the border that are helping. Here it's primarily immigration rates, right? The numbers are stunning, and I'm sure you guys read about housing problems all the time. Well, those housing problems are also an issue down in the U.S. as well. They may have an immigration issue as well. No one talks about that, though. We also talked a little bit about the quality of life issues. It's a key driver. You know, I think that while no one does anything voluntarily for the environment, depending on the regulations that are in place and the enforcement of those regulations, and having an educated population that understands this and advocates for those policies, those are all very positive things for clean tech companies like ourselves. And right now we are in a very positive position from that viewpoint. What I'm showing here on this slide as well is looking at, that translates into backlog for Byram. When I talk about backlog, we're talking about actual orders in hand, and we have a very high retention rate. I mean, the loss of, once I report a backlog, you know, I've got a 99.99% chance of converting that to revenue. The conversion rate is taking longer than it was historically because of industry dynamics, but you know, if I'm reporting, you know, I think on June 30th, we had $57 million in backlog. Within a 12 to 18 month, I'm pretty sure I will convert all of that. This is a historical high for Byram, and we expect that to continue to grow throughout the rest of the year. You know, a few short years ago, our annual revenue was $20 million. So to have a $60 million backlog it makes me feel a little, it's easier for me to sleep at night. Let's put it that way, right? That's also one of the numbers to keep an eye on with Byram, right? I said don't focus on quarter over quarter performance. When you're this size, if the road to the plant's not constructed and I've built my reactor, I can't ship it. There's no road. So that one tank not shipping in a quarter can have a huge impact on the quarter. So look at us year over year for those types of trends. Keep a close eye on the revenue. Keep a close eye on backlog. Backlog will give you the... I don't need to tell you what next year is going to be like. Look at my backlog. It's that simple. All right. And if you look at that, our conversion rates historically, it's very easy to see what Byram is going to do. We have reliable, not only are we predictable, we're reliable, right? You've got an experience, and I love doing this. I'm passionate about what I do. My team is passionate about what we do. The average tenure at my company is probably approaching 12 years now. That's very important because it takes 3 to 5 years to train someone to be able to do their job. It's very cross-disciplinary, right? It's not only the commercial side, dealing with government, the The minutia details takes a few years to get that right. And once you know how to compete in that space, that's a key value to keep in the company. But then we deal with physics, chemistry, mechanics, civil. It's very cross-disciplinary. It takes a long time. So having a team that sticks around, has the experience, is a key asset. That means that we can continue to deliver in the future. We've already spent a bit of time talking about the large exposure to infrastructure projects. Between looking at those numbers, right, revenue, backlog, booking rate, gross margins, looking at the annual trends, understanding what's going on in the infrastructure kind of gives you 80% of the picture for BioRun. Very positive industry trends. You know, we talked about those on the last slide. And then we've got some very sound, in my opinion, some very sound growth initiatives. And for many of you that have been tracking us for the last couple of years, you'll see we talked about expanding into new areas. We developed the technologies. We pushed those technologies out. That's translating not only into backlog, but into revenue and profits. And you can see this with our EBITDA here. I usually focus on the cash generating potential of a business, which is why I've kind of shown this particular graph. So I think on that note, I didn't get my 5-minute card, but I will end it there. I think I've kind of thrown a whole bunch out at you all, and certainly I've got a lot of meetings set today. Be a lot more detail given in the one-on-ones as well, but I'll open it up if there's any questions.
Yeah, Derek, great job of growing this company and keeping the share count down and growing this backlog while keeping the share count down. You've gotten in from biologics to dry scrubbers, chemical scrubbers, pretty much just doing it without any acquisitions, developing those lines by yourself. I mean, do you expect that to continue, or are there any M&A on the front now that you got a little bit of currency with your stock?
Great question, because I did turn the slide too quickly there. Yes, the other part of our growth initiative is certainly on the inorganic side in M&A. I would have loved, you know, it's always that question, do you make it or do you buy it, right? It's a lot easier to say I'm going to go out and do an acquisition and find a good candidate than it is to actually make it happen. So we've pursued the parallel strategy. So the organic growth, we'll do it on our own, but we're certainly looking at candidates to buy and accelerate our position in each of those markets. You know, dealing with small private companies, I know we've talked about this and I've talked about it with a lot of people in the room. I bang my head against the wall on this stuff. But there's no pressure to do a deal for a deal's sake. I'm not into financial engineering. I'm looking for good deals that are accretive right out of the gate, where we can add value and where we can get human resources, right? We're looking for human skills. And I will pay attention to that. So yes, we are working on it. I've got a few candidates on the go right now. I was just dealing with one prior to coming to this conference, and it's always funny, you know, there's always a valuation expectation from these small private companies, but we're still working on it. But I'm not slowing down on the organic side. And I just hope to do a bunch of little bolt-ons over the next few years.
One further question. You're primarily, maybe not entirely, but primarily a North American business. Any thoughts of geographical expansion? You clearly have some superior products out there.
That's also another good question. Yes, we do operate in 23 countries. You know, from I've got systems from Seoul to Shanghai to Moscow. They're opportunistic. I've yet to do an actual dedicated expansion by putting boots on the ground in another country. Europe is certainly, now that we've pulled out of China, the resources to go into Europe are under consideration. One of the things we need to do, it doesn't make sense to manufacture here and ship to Europe. You just can't be competitive. You need boots on the ground, both for the relationships, but to be cost competitive. This fall, we will look at manufacturing the core of our business, the media itself, in Europe. We've got a lot of large projects happening in the Middle East. I hope to close a bunch more, and we're bidding a bunch in Spain and other countries. So if I could build in Europe, then we will move to spending more time and resources there.
We have time for one last question. If not, we will wrap it up there then. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thanks.